I did offer these Muppets a freaking drink, but they said no.
Why would you say no to that?
I already had a black coffee and had three coffees yesterday. I felt ill from it.
Oh, yeah, fucking black country. Yeah.
Black country.
Yeah. It's all right, all right.
I wonder what accent he was going for.
No, I, are you all right, all right, Andrew? Ollie, you've got to look after our Andrew. Andrew Rees, come
on. That's Plumey, you're going
yeah, Plumey. Yeah, yeah, his mum fucking told me, oh, look after my Andrew, will you?
Who's the mum? Fucking Tommy Shelby.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
What's the cake like out of 10?
Mm.
It's good, right?
You got a bit of carrot cake.
It's moist.
Like my wife.
Sorry?
March out to my number one. So I take her. She loves it. March out 10, I'll give you one.
You're all right, I'm here. You're a bit cracking.
I can't say that.
You're cracking.
To be fair, I'm a little bit gone. Yeah. I haven't been drinking for 6 months.
So. Welcome back to Pitch Side, everybody. It's the international break.
Yeah.
So we thought we'd really up it for the international break. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ian Holloway.
Yay! Yay!
Thank you very much, folks. Don't clap. I'm used to that. You can boo a bit if you want.
I'm used to booing you.
Yeah, boo.
Yeah.
We've got like an accent off over in the corner.
I'm not being Holloway though, because we always get 3 points off your club, so thank you.
Do you?
Yeah, mate.
That's been ridiculous.
Albion, Blackpool.
I haven't been spiky lately, have I? But I'm just going to have a go. Yeah. Albion.
Yeah.
The Albion. Are you the Albion?
Yeah. Thoughts on the Albion?
You're sure it's on you. you're the one that nobody else likes, aren't you? They're all like, oh, we're all right. Yeah, you've got Blue Nose. Yeah. You're Wolves. Yeah, yeah, but not the bloody Albion. You are one of them, aren't you? You've got to be a real cantankerous bugger to be.
We don't need to talk about West Brom at the minute,
okay,
to be honest.
WBA.
It's
Carlos Corbran.
He's a good gaffer,
great
though.
Bloke,
he is.
I met him, yeah.
Yeah, good.
Interviewed him 2 years ago. Brilliant.
Yeah. I love him, but I don't think we'll keep him very long, if I'm honest, because we are shite.
Was he too good for you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought that was Wilfred Zaha. He's just too good for you. A great song, that.
That is a good song.
You know what they just sang about me? He's just not good enough for you. He's just not good enough for you. All of them. All right.
We got to stop our brain, is that, man? It's going to go all episode.
Brian's got
some questions to ask.
I'm going
to
stop because he's going to ruin me in a minute.
Ian, you've been on a bit of a health kick this year, you've been telling us.
Yes.
Lost. Yep. How much have you lost?
I've lost about 2 stone, but more importantly, I've lost 2 trouser sizes. I went from 34 down to a 30. And
new wardrobe.
Absolutely, yeah. That's the bad news.
The good news is
all the fat stuff I can chuck out.
Nice.
I've never thought you were fat, ever.
No, I started to look like
how nice of you, Tom.
No, I've never noticed.
No,
I've
yeah.
I thought, Ian Holloway needs to lose weight.
Yeah. No, when I went doing the job, being on the touchline, I ended up looking like a human puddle.
Oh, really?
Human puddle?
Yeah. Oh, you're melting.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Imagine a puddle sitting down and then standing up.
Imagine a puddle.
Yeah, that's me with a head of a Eddie Kent. I thought I looked all right. So we were in Santorini having a look. My son's going to get married next summer. And we're my wife's took some photos of me, and I'm thinking, it's me. I had an Eddie Kelly. I felt all right up here, but it was the Eddie Kelly that was just horrendous. Honestly, so that's it. And I'm, woo.
Like, on a whole new training program,
it,
diet. Yeah smashing
yeah.
it.
Luke for training. He's a fitness guru. He's 46 years old. Absolutely. There ain't nothing he can't do. It's insane.
Oh, sorry, mate.
Sorry.
Oh, I didn't mean that.
Oh, that's just unbelievable. Did you learn nothing in COVID? Oh, don't worry. It's from somewhere nearby.
Yeah, we didn't get that virus. Just carry
anyway,
you guys lived your life, right? We were stuck indoors.
Stuck indoors. What, do you live in the same house?
What?
Oh, I thought you were stuck indoors. Stuck indoors here. Have I come to the right place here?
What's going on here?
I'm lost here.
Is anyone in control of
it? I got a list of questions to ask, but
we don't need any questions.
Who
needs fucking questions?
I can't even
understand what's going on. Who needs questions?
Just to confirm, we do not share a bed.
Good. Well, you can do what you like, I don't care. Nothing to do with me.
Oh,
if you want to explain yourself, just do it later on. But let's answer me some.
Right, let's take it seriously for a second. I wanted to take you back to the start of your managerial career, which is quite interesting because you're actually a player manager to begin with. What's that like as a dynamic to be both a colleague and a figure of authority?
To be honest, impossible.
Mm. Really?
Yeah. The only person I've known who's done it really well was Kenny Dalglish. And I had a wonderful opportunity to meet him one night, and he said, it wasn't me. I had three or four managers in my staff, and they went, just train Gaffer, and you got to play, by the way. So, you know what I mean? I didn't have that. Yeah. I had Gary Penrose, who was me player assistant, and I had Phil Kite, who was my physio stroke goalie coach. So we all had like two jobs to do, but I wouldn't want to go back to that, put it that way. I think it's almost impossible, particularly now. Now you've got layers in above you to get to your chairman, because you can't, if you haven't got a relationship with your chairman, you really aren't a manager. Do you know what I mean? That's the problem these days. But
did that relationship you're on about from the steps up, did that just increase the longer you managed, in terms of when you first started managing, was it a shorter gap to get to whoever?
Yeah, I was straight to the chairman.
Yeah, and instead now he's director of football, et cetera.
Well, not necessarily that. You've got a chief executive officer.
Yeah.
Good luck to them, but I don't know what they do. No, because we had a secretary.
Yeah.
And that was really efficient. And then if I needed anything from the chairman, I could ring the chairman and he would, all right, what's that for? All right, great, bang. And now there's loads of layers. Imagine like
too much admin.
You're already there.
Yeah.
And if it's going wrong, you can't, because I mean, it goes wrong, what, 33% of the time, most of the time, because you either... If you lose, it's only when you win that it's great, isn't it? And not everybody can. Someone's got to be the bottom of the league.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'll be sacking everyone left, right, center. So, but how can you influence? Management is influencing a group of people and then influencing the crowd, because really the club belongs to the crowd. So if you're not given any time, luckily I was given an awful lot of time because they couldn't sack me. I had a playing contract. It was on a blue form.
Yeah, I'll go back to being just a player. Mate.
Yeah, it was on a blue form. And the blue form, you had the PFA behind you. So they got it wrong. They should have given me a manager's contract on a white form. They put it on a blue one, so they couldn't get rid of me. So I was given that time at Bristol Rovers.
You know? Yeah.
And it started well, then it went horrible. And then they sacked me with 2 years left on me, and they were asking me to work out my notice. And I'm not allowed to tell anyone. So how can you have the sack and then still be the manager? It doesn't make sense. But they cut a 4.5 year contract down to a 2 year contract.
Right.
And this is what people don't realize. You know, it's only managers don't get paid the whole lot. You know, they don't fill up a wheelbarrow. Yeah. What you do is you get when you start your job, you get a clause. And that clause is vital. If you're wanted and you're a huge manager like Mourinho would have been, he would have had some massive, like maybe a 1.5-2 year payoff.
Yeah.
Equivalent. But us numpties, we don't get that. You don't get that at all. I think, what did I have, 6 months? I had 3 months. Carl Eyston offered me a 3 month. He said, well, unless you get relegated, I'm not going to sack you.
At Blackpool, is that?
At Blackpool, yeah. So, yeah, but not being funny, I carried that into other things. So it's just mental. But as a manager, you're not really a manager anymore. It's gone fashion. It's more like a coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you had that in Italy where they could sack you left, right, and center. It's all following suit over here. And is it the best thing for you? No, I don't think so. Is it something you've got to get used to? Yeah. But how can you do anything in the amount of time that you're given? So I've done this documentary. It's helped me stay normal. Because I thought I was weird. I want to get back into all of it. Oh, yeah, probably am. You laugh, man. You just met me. Anyway, you're weird. You like West Brom. Anyway.
He's got, that's a fair point.
Seriously. It's a fair point. Yellow and green away, kid. What's all that about? Anyway,
oh, that's a
don't
classic.
Start. That's awful. It's
like that's a classic.
Ian.
That's awful. Anyway, let me get back to it.
Yeah, sorry,
right,
go
what
on.
I'm saying is so hard these days. And I'll give you an example, right? If you're John Eustace, and you've woke up and Wayne Rooney is now the boss of Birmingham and you're sixth in the championship. I don't know how to, I couldn't console myself and I wouldn't know what to say to him now. How unfair is that? So it's chaos. You're trying to manage chaos. And with the people above you, how many there are these days, and I don't even mention the director of football yet, who could sit there and go, yeah, oh, I think it was,
Yeah.
Player is much better than that. Must be understanding. And they look after themselves. So, oh my goodness me. Do you know what I mean? So, I miss it. So I'd go back into it. You know, it's incredible, you know. But what a wonderful, chaotic life it is, because life's about experiencing things, good and bad. How do you know what good is until you've had some bad stuff? And we all get some bad stuff. And it's how you deal with it. So dealing with football management was something I've had to do. I had to do it. I bought the biggest house I could, put myself in massive debt because I had to keep doing it.
Mm.
I couldn't moan about it. I had to keep doing it, and I couldn't, you know what I mean? So I tried to get...
Piled the pressure on yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I have to keep doing this, so stop moaning about it.
Yeah.
Because it would be easier to sit back and go, why do I want that? Why do I want to do that?
Yeah. Mm. No,
you know? And then all the problems you get when you don't know someone and you sign someone and then you got... And like you sign in from non-league and they still bring that non-league mentality and they almost execute their wife by getting so drunk they put their keys in the toaster and didn't realise they did it. And then the wife comes down and I'm giving him a lift to work and, oh, you nearly killed me, you idiot. It's like, wow, what on earth? So, I mean, I have had some stories.
I was going to say,
that must have happened.
Absolutely happened, yeah.
What player?
Julian Allsopp, brilliant.
Put his keys in the toaster.
He nearly killed his wife. Yeah, she was fuming.
But why would you put your keys in the toaster?
Because he didn't realise. He's gone like that, like a zombie fight. He's come in. He's had too many the night before. He phoned me because he lived around the corner. Can you give me a lift, Gaffer? And yeah, right. And then we're driving in to work, and his missus, I found your keys. Bristol Rovers.
Jesus,
you wouldn't believe what we had going on.
This towards the start of your managerial career or when you
went back? Right at the start, yeah. You took me back there, kid. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? When I was 33 and I lasted till I was 37 there.
Are they your club then, Rovers?
Always have been.
Yeah.
Can't help it. I've had to change shirts, not because I wanted to. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Anyway, I've just answered one question in about a half hour or so. How many questions you got?
Oh, dear, mate. That's what we're looking for.
You touched on it just now, I'd say, but what is the key or the main difference, good or bad, between managing, say, 20, 30 years ago to now?
People realise you need staff now.
Yeah.
Right? Which is great for the players, fantastic for their development, fantastic for the manager, really, because we used to just guess how fit you were and we'd probably run you until you were sick. Yeah. At least you know no one's cheated you then.
Mm-hmm.
Blackpool, I only had three of us.
Three of you?
Yes.
Including
myself, wow. Me, Steve Thompson and Phil Horner. Steve Thompson was first team coach, stroke my assistant, and Phil Horner was the physio.
And doesn't that slightly contradict what you just said then? Because that was one of the most successful periods, wasn't it, really? What you did there was ridiculous.
What we had another a chief executive, but he wasn't called that. The owner wouldn't give him that title.
Yeah.
He had four jobs around the club and kept the club going. Matt Williams, his name was. But what he had was a great scouting network. I also had my own scouting network. And we
spent no money, did you?
Wonderful clubs around the area. Lots of Premier League clubs who we could borrow players. We borrowed Jonjo Shelby on half his money.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? He walked in, scored four in his first game for me. he'd been bought by Liverpool for, I think it was seven million
It was
quid.
A decent fee from Charlton,
hell of,
wasn't it?
Hell of a decent fee. And he hadn't played, so when I let him go on my pitch, he took this free kick, took that.
Yeah.
And they all went in. Against Bristol City as well. It was like, we'd be
fighting.
Ideal. Absolutely. But I can understand his frustration, but, you know, we were so lucky, but it just worked, you know, because the fans bought into it.
It was mental, that was.
It was, honestly, but if you can get some like-minded people who aren't happy where they are and you bring them up and you let them play.
Yeah.
You know, Jason Puncheon we got from Southampton.
Mm-hmm.
And they were two divisions below us, played him in the Premier League, and he was like he'd already been there.
He had like Luke Varney. No disrespect to him. I don't think many Premier League clubs would have come knocking for him, but he'd.
Yeah, but
they all did jobs, didn't they?
We played a friendly against Dario Gradi's crew, and he went, why don't you, playing that way, why don't you take Luke?
Yeah.
Here's his number. He said, I trained him to make all those runs. He'd be brilliant for you, and he can win a header.
Yeah.
Because we used to hit long diagonals to it was long ball football.
Yeah.
And everybody thought we played some brilliant stuff. But really what, we dragged you in, got it wide, and then hit it the other side because that's where the space was. And so I had 12 forwards and Luke was one of them. But life's about trying to express yourself. And with too many people around you, it's very difficult to do it. When I went to Palace, I had never seen so many staff in my life.
Really?
After Dougie left. And Dougie took five staff with him.
Yeah.
So there was hardly anything for me to do. So in a lot of the ways, I was stumped because I wanted to influence these people who already had a different routine.
Mm.
And the minute I tried to change their routine to get it to what I did, they didn't like it. Mm. So I had to go back to what Dougie wanted to do. Luckily for me, I was big enough and ugly enough to do that. And we managed to get up, but I didn't last long there because I was very different to what they were used to. But, you know, at the end of the day, this documentary that I made last year, I met all these wonderful managers, some just starting off, Liam Rossini in his first job. So what are you going to do when it goes wrong? I don't know. I can't see it going wrong. Not arrogantly, just meant that it hasn't yet. And you know what I mean? And then Michael Duff was at Barnsley and I spoke to him and he said, Ollie, if this is as good as I can get, I got to try and improve every day. And it was brilliant to hear him. And then I spoke to Neil Warnock and Mick McCarthy and about experiences. And we've all, you know, I wanted to know if I was any different to them. And thank God, they're all like me. I am so competitive at anything.
Yeah. Mm.
If we had to throw a coin towards the door, I'd have to try and beat you. I couldn't help it. And I'd get nasty with myself if I didn't. Not with you. If you beat me, I'd get nasty with myself.
Yeah.
Because I would expect myself to be better than that. And then, so the standards that I set, and I'm not the only one, they all do it. It was absolutely so freeing up for me to think, God, I'm normal compared to other people. You know, most people I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got this high energy and I'm ready to do stuff and I can't sit still. And they're all the bloody same, you know, but what was shocking was my wife, Kim, who has put up with me for 34 years. And some of the things she said really hurt because I thought I'd showed them I care more than about the football, but I don't think I did.
No,
and that really hurts. You know what I mean? I've spoke to my boy. I've signed to my daughters about what I was like, and they all laugh. And we knew if you'd lost. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wow. You don't really want that, do you?
No.
But I want people to understand how much we do care.
Yeah.
Right? We care that much that we're going to get the sack. We don't just think there, oh, I'm going to get me money.
Yeah.
It's not like that. It really isn't like that. And every time, every single week, you've tried to do the best you can to beat the opposition.
Mm.
Not draw with them. Yeah. Mm. Definitely not lose to them.
Mm.
To beat them. And all the work that you've put in, it's heartbreaking when it don't. And then yet you got to be the one to pick yourself up. So it's a very, very brutal way of living. And I wanted, whoever watches it, I believe you all understand that because I managed to touch a nerve with the other managers because we all get frosty when someone asks us a question because we've been looking out for ourselves to protect. So why did you lose 1-0 today? Well, they scored one more goal than me. Stupid questions you can answer.
Yeah.
But when I was asking a question, they knew it was coming from my manager's side and I wanted to understand how I felt like that. So they opened up and some of it, one of them, I don't even know if I liked before I went there, Stevenage, right?
Evans,
Stevenage, right? Me and him have had so many rows on the side, it's unbelievable. And I mean, like almost fisticuffs. And so when they said, we're going to go and see Steve, I thought, right, what a lovely bloke. He is so different.
Yeah.
And I said to him, my God, he went, my dad on his deathbed said to me, and he went, I've never told anyone this. I said, is it all right to show? He went, yeah, please, I need to get it off my chest. He said, he said, Steve, I know you can get someone's back up. If they don't know you, they don't like you. But let me tell you, when they get to know you, they love you.
Mm,
And it was true by the end of it. And he got promoted last year. Wonderful. Absolutely. You don't know these people. Do you understand?
Yeah, absolutely.
And what it does to you, it can, because you're trying to protect yourself and your family and your reputation, it can make you do the strangest things. You know, I've carried off under my armpits at Birmingham when my captain gets sent off. But my captain got elbowed by Zigic.
Mm.
And I said to the fourth official, did you see that? Because my captain made it look blatant, Barry Ferguson. And I thought, did you? And Chris Hughton was there. And he went, I saw it. Oh, it's both of them, innit? Both of them got to go. Anyway, my bloke gets sent off. Their bloke goes. So I'm going mental like a little idiot. And all of a sudden, my little feet are in the air. And I'm being carried off like that. And I'm like, what on earth? I got sent off. Two bouncers. It was hilarious. They were laughing their heads off. Because when you come on at Birmingham down the bottom,
squiddly diddly. Like
when you come on, is the dressing rooms are down in the corner, and you have this walk of terror.
It's a long walk of terror.
They hammer you all the way up.
Because it's both blues as well, isn't it, by that corner.
And by the time I used to get to there, they were fed up with me giving them stuff back. Do you know what I mean? Because it is, it's quite a brutal place. Yeah. So anyway, I have been so lucky. It's such a privilege to have been so-called in charge of anything or anybody, but let alone some of the clubs that I've been at. My club, Bristol Rovers, and I thought I was going to die when I got the sack from there. But luckily, I carried on living.
Obviously, you've managed to speak to all these managers recently. Were there any managers like during your managerial career that you actually just didn't get along with, or you had like tuffs behind the scenes or anything along those sort of lines?
Maybe a manager you always wanted to beat. If you saw their club coming up in the fixture list, you're like, oh, that's the one that I've got to get one.
No, it was one of them. There's only one that I've ever really truly fallen out with, and I haven't seen him since I've fallen out with him. I can't wait to see him again.
Who's that?
He took my job at QPR by talking to the chairman for 10 months before I got the sack. So he would go and watch our away games.
McLaren?
Yeah. How bad's that? Instead of saying, oh, actually, you still got a manager, why don't you talk to him about what your team's doing?
Jesus.
Or give me the job after you've got rid of Ian.
Behind your back?
Yeah, you don't do that, do you? There's certain things you don't do in football, but...
Is that even legal from the club?
You can't...
Okay,
that's a weird situation.
Put it this way, right? A chairman can do what he likes, providing he sticks to the contract.
Yeah,
so there was a get out in my contract. For me, I'd have rather him, when he decided he wanted to get rid of me then. You know, at least Birmingham have got rid of John Eustace now. They're not letting him pretend like to do it for 10 months and not be real. That's not a real relationship then, is it? Your missus don't want to go out with someone else, but she's going, all right, hello.
Let's go to the cinema.
What a waste of time now, isn't it? I'd rather say, look, you're ugly, I'm going out with him.
Yeah.
It's better, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? You need to know where you stand with people. I've always been like that, you know, and I know that the chairman can do what he likes, but why treat me like that? I wouldn't have dreamed to go in half-hearted at his club, but he was half-hearted with me because he might have wanted Steve before he gave it to me, but Steve was at Derby at the time. So the minute Steve come, why don't just give him the job then?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's no problem. But don't accept a phone call from your chairman and say, actually, all right, yeah. And you know that you're going to do that and you get yourself... I didn't bump into him, but if he did, how bad would that be? Mm. I'd have to say, oh, mate, by the way, they're getting rid of you.
Jesus.
Watch your back. Do you know what I mean?
Have you ever discussed it since?
I haven't had a chance. I've said it everywhere I've been because it's just fuming.
Is that not?
I was fuming.
You know
how? No, but that's, if you look at how many managers get a job really quickly after the last one, how many of them do it?
Mm.
I would never do it. That happened to me once. I said, when you've got a manager, haven't you? Oh, yeah, but I said, well, no, tell him first and then ring me back.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
Because it is so frowned upon, especially when it comes to players, isn't it? Like tapping up players and stuff, it's really looked down upon. So I feel like it should be exactly the same with
it's
managers.
It's how you are. It's how I was brought up.
Yeah.
Old man, son, you got a lot to say for yourself. Just go through the front door, never the back, never the side door. Just through the front
door. I agree.
If they throw you out, get back up, dust yourself down, try and go in again.
Yep.
And that's, for me, that's what it's about. Mm-hmm. Life is like that. And I think my players, the people who play for me, the honesty that I tried to show them didn't always work. Some couldn't handle it, but I had to let them know what I felt and I had to let them know what I expect of them. And that's why you're going to wear my shirt. You should wear it like a supporter would. Even if you're the best player in the squad, like Abdel Tourette was at QPR, I probably wouldn't have picked him because he was lazy and he didn't turn up on time. And that would go right against me instead of Neil Warnock did it a different way. And it's brilliant. It worked for Neil, but I don't know if I could do that with how I was brought up. Do you get what I mean? I don't know if I'd have been clever enough to get the best out of him like Neil did. So hats off to Neil. But all my players knew where they stood with me because I let them know what I was expecting. You know, even in relationships, who's your partner? Does he treat you like a princess? Does he treat you like a prince these days? You never know, do you? But none of that's my business, providing that you're being honest and straight and you know where you are, because I'll have a chance to help you then. You'll have a chance to help me to do it for real. Luckily for me, Blackpool, everybody was on the same page.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. I think that
everybody was on the same page.
I think that attitude relates to your players and the pitch, doesn't it?
They were.
You've always had an honest bunch.
They were absolutely, completely out there with them driving what I wanted them to do.
Yeah.
And all it was practice. I brought a way of playing, practice, go and practice, try and get, I believe you can do this. And that we even took that into, we didn't ever shut up shop. We didn't ever close. We tried to beat everybody.
Yeah. Which was to your detriment but
I couldn't change that group, and I don't think you can. I don't think Pep could change.
Yeah, no.
He can change tactics, but he won't change principles. In other words, principle of play. Let's win it back within 4 seconds. Mm-hmm. Don't matter what style we're playing, right? That's a totally different thing. But I went there and told him what my principles of play were.
Mm-hmm.
Get it wide. Don't keep it in the middle of the pitch. Quite simple, isn't it? So if you're a centre half, get it wide. Yeah, get it wide. Can we get in? And if not, we're going to switch it. So we knew, can we get in? And you'd have the left back shouting, switch it.
Yeah.
And we were already knowing where it's going.
Yeah.
But what we did was then we found ways to practice those passes. And we actually took it to the Premier League, and that group was almost good enough to stay.
Yeah,
Anyway, it is what it is. And, you know, I can't ask for any more than that. But that my players knew where they stood with me.
What?
Last week, I saw 20 years ago, QPR went back up. And that was my first time I ever got promoted. We went down because the club was in terrible.
And then you took them back
up. I took them back up 3 years later on half the budget.
And kept them up.
Yeah. We were 11th. And then I got put on gardening leave because somebody else tried to buy the club. And it's just, look, don't get me wrong. You can sit here and moan all the time, but it is that chaotic. And what all you're going to do is you do it, you review it, and then you redo it. And that's, I advise anybody in their life to do that.
Yeah.
Do it, review it, honestly, right? Look at your part in it and try and get that better. If you need someone else to do what you can't do, admit it, get someone else in and you'll be a success because you're growing, you know, and life ain't about winning, it's about learning how to win from a bad defeat or if you look at Southampton a few years ago, they lost 9-0 and then their manager stayed and he kept going and did he draw or did he beat Man City and then he was crying on the touchline
what's
his name?
Hasenhüttl,
Rabbit Hutch, wasn't it? That's why translates into his name's Rolf.
Is that what it means?
Yeah, it's Rabbit Hutch. On my life, it's true. Brilliant. No, but that is a significant moment in his career because not only did he survive that battering, but he came out and got that same group to actually learn.
Which is what you've done, haven't you? Like with Leicester and stuff, like bouncing back and
I didn't do it with
disappointing
Leicester.
Jobs.
I've got it wrong. And I'm sorry, I have. But what you try and do is you clear out for the next manager to come in. Some clubs you take over are in such a bad way. QPRs could not afford. They were losing 100 grand a week.
Jesus.
100 grand a week. That's 20 years ago, right? So what I managed to do is get rid of all of that debt and then start again. I had 7 players, 2 long-term out. I had 9 players. And we rebuilt. And 3 years it took us to get back. But we did it. You know, and for me, ask anybody who's running a business, if you can do that on half the budget it was 3 years ago, that ain't bad, is it?
What's it like with, obviously, when you had 9 players, I'm guessing you would have got quite close to the players, but what's it like sort of balancing that relationship of being the manager, but also potentially being like a figurehead for these people in their lives? Because you look at someone like Pep, who's very cutthroat with his players, like if you surplus to requirement, you're gone. Whereas, so I feel like he can't get as close to his players on a personal level. Did you ever find yourself
he's closer than that.
Do you think?
Yeah. Fergie was the same.
Yeah. He knew everything. Fergie
would invest in his players. Yeah. And if they let him down, boy, oh boy, didn't he let them know. And it's all about working hard. You know, I saw something on YouTube the other day that Sir Alec is telling. It's wonderful. People ought to get him on a lot more. I think he's absolutely brilliant. And God rest his soul. I'm sorry to hear about his wife. You know, it must be terrible for him there. But what a man.
Mm.
What a man. And all he stood for was hard work.
Mm.
And even if you're the best, you got to work as hard as the others. He didn't put up with all of that other nonsense. Do you know what I mean? And you know, if a fellow on the coalface got to work hard, why can't you? you know, yeah. and he would check you and he would be on you all the time. And, you know, the stories about kicking the air on a party in Giggs's house and you kick the door in. What the hell? And, you know, that's what managers won't be able to do that these days.
No.
But that's what they need, in my opinion. I'm not old fashioned. It's discipline. You need discipline. You need to get going. You need to appreciate the wonderful position that you're in.
Yeah.
Do you think they have too much power?
That's what I was going to say. Do you think players have too much power now?
Because it's too money-based, isn't it?
Because you touched on adult reps being, not necessarily having the attitude that would be appropriate for your style of management, but there's players out there now that, you know, are almost toe-to-toe with how much the manager can say about the club as well. You know, like likes of Sancho, for example.
How would you deal with that? It's a disgrace, isn't it?
I actually think that their manager's right. I think
that's what I mean.
Needs to look at himself honestly. Yeah,
thank you.
And appraise himself honestly, because it's all right being talented, son.
Yeah.
But what are you using? What are you doing with that talent? And if you're not working as hard as the least talented player in your team, right? But probably with the best attitude, then I'm not having you. And you should just shut your face and have a good look at what you're doing for your money.
Mm-hmm.
Because you owe it to the people out there who pay your wages. It's not your owners that own the club. It's not. It's the fans.
Yeah.
Because if we suddenly stop watching the telly and stop going because we were sick and tired of the attitude that these players now have, are you telling me that football wouldn't collapse?
Mm.
It would. Mm-hmm. It belongs to the people. It still does and it always will do. And I think it deserves to. But we got to realise that. Why put up with young'uns who aren't right?
He's always played at the club, isn't he, Sancho?
Is he?
Mm-hmm. No, De Gea's left.
I'm not sure that's right.
I think he is. 350, well, apparently.
However, the whole point about football management is you'll lose your job if you give the wrong player the wrong money. And when you look at that, Sanchez came in from Arsenal and he was given the most money and he didn't want to run around anymore.
Mm-hmm.
When he first came over, he was like a paper bag on the wind, right? He was everywhere. Right? And he played for all those great teams because he was willing to chase and run. When he thought he was good and started pulling his hat over his head and disappointed in Arsene Wenger, how dare you do that to Arsene Wenger? Who the hell do you think you are, mate? I'm sorry. And he goes and Man United sign him.
Yeah.
And I still look back at, I think Mourinho had it in for the Man United style because he wasn't chosen. He wasn't chosen first after Sir Alex finished, you know.
And
And then he goes and signs Pogba, who Sir Alex let go for a lot of money.
Mm.
He got rid of him because his attitude stank. And then Mourinho brings him back.
Oh, you think it was a bit of a power thing?
I think there was a huge thing going on, right? And was he right to tell Luke Shaw that you're a little bit overweight, you need to work a bit harder? Probably, but... You know, when he first came over here, how he made Frank Lampard feel and John Terry feel and what he did for them was incredible. So he is an incredible manager. But, you know, what you see behind the scenes is really difficult. And I think he paid Sanchez too much. And then that started the hell of, I know they finished second, but that started, hang on a minute, that ain't right, that ain't right, that ain't right. And then the minute you get that wrong as a manager, you got everybody on your door, right? You get it right. I paid Barry Ells the most money at Bristol Rovers because I turned down a lot of money for him, 1.5 million. And I went, here's a new contract.
Jesus, that's a lot of money back then as well.
Yeah, yeah. Here's a new contract. You're my best player. He scored 26 that season. And the others were knocking me door. What about me? I said, well, I haven't turned down 1.5 million for you, have I? So get out. When I do, I'll pay you what he's on, but he's my best player at the minute because he's worth more than you. So get out. And they couldn't argue.
Yeah.
And... there's some clarity about that. Do you get what I mean?
I think
you
that's need what I missed,
you yeah. need to get that right, and then no one knocks on your door. Seriously, we had it at QPR. Jerry Francis, Les Ferdinand. Oh, there you go, Les. Brilliant. He's fantastic. We lost him, right? We lost him to Newcastle, and we got relegated. That's how important he was, right? Honestly, but we knew it. So you're not going to argue, are you?
Yeah.
And football is the same, right? In school, we all knew who the best player was, didn't we?
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. And we used to say it because kids are brutally honest, aren't they? Do you know what I mean? Big nose, I was called. Christ. Yeah.
Me.
I've made some great jokes about it because, you know, you don't get bullied then if you can make them laugh.
Yeah.
You know? But the thing is kids to tell the truth. So why don't we? You know? And in football, you have to have that. Yeah. You have to be able to deal with it, not in the bullying way. We all used to be bullied by senior pros. But luckily for me, I had great ones looking after us because they made us pros. Tony Pulis was a senior pro who would protect me, but also tell me, hang on a minute.
We had
a bloke called Lindsay Parsons who was a fullback and used to pick you up by your throat. I'm not sure I'm having you, you little pillock. Right, honestly, Phil Bater, a great friend of mine, left back. Oh my God. Tackled his grandmother. Do you know what I mean? It's unbelievable. But they were true with us.
Yeah.
We had to learn. We had to wait and knock on the door to go in their room. It was all about an hierarchy. That don't happen now.
Right now, guys, we're going to interrupt the chat with Ian to chat some Super Six. Now, because obviously it's international break, we are going to be doing the top five hottest prospects in the Premier League list. Now, me personally, I want to draw a line and say there are a couple of players that have recently been bought for a lot of money, so I haven't counted those in my, or I haven't factored them.
Well, I've done a list of
They could still be hot guys.
Well, a hot prospect would get bought for a lot of money.
Yeah, but is it not players that are up and coming as opposed to already established?
I understand what you're saying, but my list is players that I think are going to be class or are class already who are under the age of 21.
I just went players who in a prospect, so they're going to be top players.
I just went with the list. I just went with what we're supposed to do. Is that what you're saying again?
Number five, I've really struggled with his name, and I don't want to be offensive. Carney Chukwuemeka.
Chukwuemeka, yeah.
Chukwuemeka, that's it. Close.
For Chelsea.
Yeah, he's been... He was highly touted at Villa as well, wasn't he? Yep. He was a big signing for them.
Whether he won the Young Lions World Cup?
Didn't Villa win the Youth Cup as well? I may be wrong on that,
Tom,
but I'm sure.
I will say this. That was a really great shout. Great start to your list.
Thank you. Are you being nice to me because I was nice to you last week? Other than your... Number four. I don't think any of you will have this, but I didn't realise he was this young. Julio Enciso.
Yeah, he is young.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good player.
Brighton.
Third, I've got... thanks for that.
You're an encyclopedia.
Third, I've got James Trafford. I think he's future England number one.
Interesting. I like it.
You're three for three. Obviously, here, Tom Garrett.
Number two.
Obviously, he won. What did he win?
Yeah, same one. Same one as Carney.
Yeah, the UA for Euros with England under 21s.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why I said the UA
for Euros.
Euros.
The UA for European Euros.
They won the World Cup as well, didn't they?
Number one and two is interchangeable, but I've gone Rico Lewis, number two, 18. He's unbelievable. Yeah. And number one is Oscar Bob.
Ah, interesting.
Oscar Bob, number one.
You've got to stop with this Oscar Bob propaganda.
He made his international debut last night as well.
Did he?
He's some boy.
Yeah. Norwegian.
How good was he, by the way, in that first half against Newcastle? You know, did you watch it the other week?
Oh, you mean
in the League Cup?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shall I go next?
Shall I go next?
Yeah, I'll go next. Okay, in number five, I have Ian Maatsen.
I don't think he's that good, if I'm honest. But
yeah, really? I don't think he's that good, to be honest.
Well, if he turns around and he's very good soon, then hey.
Chelsea left back.
Was it Burnley, like one of the players of the season in the Championship when they...
Yeah, exactly. Burnley, Championship. Mm. And he's like 21 as well, isn't he?
Oh, borderline.
He's not even that young.
Okay, right. Number four, Evan Ferguson.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Don't forget him.
Little Evan.
I could have put him higher, but three, I actually do have Carney Chukwuemeka as well. I think him in that Chelsea lineup, you look way better when he was playing before he got injured, especially in that West Ham game. Number two, Rico Lewis.
Yep.
And number one, Destiny Udogie.
Criminal putting... Rico Lewis under Udogie.
Why? I think Udogie's more stable as at the top level-ish.
No, not in terms of that. I just think Rico Lewis has a higher ceiling than Udogie.
Yeah, probably.
Not necessarily either.
Okay.
I think as an outright left back, Udogie could very well
Udogie's very impressive.
I should have had Ferguson in my list.
And for that reason, Udogie comes in at fifth for me.
Whoa.
Fourth. Hoyland.
Yeah.
How old's Hoyland?
Fair enough.
20?
20 years old.
Oh, yeah. Good shout. Although he costs, 300 million?
Third, that, Levi Colwell.
Are these prospects though?
Yeah. Under 21 prospect.
What?
Prospect? Number two.
Yeah, I feel like a guy.
Number two.
I feel like a number 38 out of 38.
Number
games.
Two, Evan Ferguson.
Yeah.
Number one, Rico Lewis.
No Oscar Bob.
Wait,
wow.
So
I didn't
have you missed
part.
Out a player there? I know was Colwell put, was third.
Yeah, so it went.
Yeah. Sorry, I've got it now.
And I wanted to shout out Cole Palmer.
So my intro was in reference to Cole Palmer, who's obviously just been bought for like £40 million by Chelsea.
It is one of them ones where, what is a hot prospect? Or are we doing best under 21 players?
We said prospects who are under 21.
I'm surprised you didn't put Bendokin, your favourite.
Oh, Bendova.
Yeah.
Bendokin's class. Rapid as well. Calfreezy loves him.
I haven't seen enough of him to comment.
Is that how you gauge whether or not someone's a good player? Well, how much Calfreezy rates them as a footballer?
No.
Okay.
No.
Who's the best one in that list? Actually, to be fair, the only person that features across all of them is Rico Lewis. So maybe he's the hottest of the prospects.
That is true.
It is. I do find Man City very impressive in terms of, you know how like clubs, when they get loads of money, they just splash it. And yes, they did back in the day. But they've also now developed an infrastructure where they can splash it, but also bring through the best talent in the UK.
Yeah.
Essentially. Well, that's what it is.
Arguably in Europe.
In Europe. Yeah. Like they find the best talent and nurture them into these best players. And then, say, Cole Palmer.
They're the best run club in Europe.
Yeah. In the world.
Yeah. City, yeah.
Cole Palmer, they've sold for 50 million?
Yeah. He reckons it's 38, but I think it's more than that.
They sold him for a shit ton.
Yeah.
The kid.
Yeah, like they've read on the ground, the surrounding areas. They are the best run club in the world, in my opinion. But Oscar Bobby is the best prospect.
Where do you see him going, Ballon d'Or?
Well, I don't know about that. I don't like putting Ballon d'Or shouts on players.
No, you don't.
Oh, apart from Madrid.
I never said, what is that lie?
You did.
Get the clip, find the clip of me saying that.
No, you did.
Find the clip.
No, but seriously,
find the clip.
Can Norway win a trophy?
No way.
No way.
Really?
No.
Oscar Bob, Haaland,
Ødegaard. What, Ødegaard? Three players? How are they going to win a fucking international tournament with three good players?
Pretty good though. They are pretty good.
They're not that good.
Well,
they haven't even qualified for anything. Don't wish for
hang
that.
Hang on a minute.
Where? If anyone who couldn't hear that, he said Josh King in the corner, like a little weirdo.
Do you think, obviously, if we look at the England winning side from the summer, do you think any of
and
those...
And prior, they basically just
and prior, under 17 as well,
yeah.
Years ago. Do you see any of them players coming through and making big names for themselves? Because you saw the under 17s when they won the World Cup.
Yep.
A lot of those names are now playing first team football.
Like Phil Foden. Smith Rowe.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. I mean, that's usually if they're the best in the world at that age, they turn out to be pretty good a little bit later on in life, don't they?
Let me read you the...
Insightful.
Morgan Gibbs-White was captain of that team, wasn't he?
Mm. Yeah.
And now he's got a baby on the way.
Relevant detail. Congratulations to Morgan.
How do you know that?
Because...
Yeah, it goes same barber.
Yeah.
same barber every time. Let me read you this...
Shout out my barber dog.
Rico Lewis was in the team.
Yeah, shout out to my barber dog.
England under 21s. Oh, is this the current one? This is the current one. Okay, ignore me. Anyways, guys, obviously...
That was worth it. Just for wasting your time there.
Ruin the segment.
I think we've got the best five there. They're definitely the best prospects. And you don't know anything, so you're wrong.
What are you talking about? My list was way better.
You lost this week.
Yeah, you lost again.
No, my list was the best. Look, anyways, guys.
Everyone in the comments, let us know that now, just put Theo back and lose.
Mine was best. There's now over 30,000 of you in the Pitchside Super 6 mini league, which is absolutely insane. We are going for 40,000. 40,000 by Christmas is the target, so make sure you sign up, use the link in the description down below. Obviously it's the international break at the moment, but the fixtures for when we return are what, Reeve?
Manchester City versus Brighton, Newcastle versus Crystal Palace, Brentford versus Burnley, Chelsea versus Arsenal, Sheffield United versus Man United, and Aston Villa versus West Ham.
What's the easiest there? Probably Chelsea Arsenal
to predict. We said this before, didn't we?
Chelsea Arsenal. 2-0 Arsenal.
Chelsea Arsenal.
Well, we get cooked for saying that, but then everyone goes, watch this, come on a joke.
How about we do our predictions right now then?
Yeah, 2-0 Arsenal. Mate, if you think about it logistically.
Name the games and I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen.
Man City 4, Brighton
If you
2.
Said to me, predict second place versus 11th, you'd say that's quite easy to predict.
Well, why are you looking at the league table 8 games in?
I think the easiest game to predict there is Brentford-Burnley. I think Brentford beat Burnley.
No, I think that's a draw.
Ooh, what about Man City Brighton?
Draw.
You think Brighton get a draw at the Etihad?
No, I honestly, legit.
Next game, come on.
Legit, I think the easiest game to predict from this six is Newcastle Palace.
Without
Eze.
Draw.
Are you on draw for every game?
Yep.
Are they all 0-0 as well?
Yep.
Okay,
I'm not really. Newcastle will beat Palace. City will beat Brighton. Burnley will draw with Brentford.
What about Man United away to Sheffield United? That's not...
Man United will beat Sheffield United. What's the others?
Villa, West Ham. Draw.
Where at?
The Claret and Blue Derby.
Villa. No. Ooh. Draw.
Draw.
And that's the last, what's the last one?
Chelsea, Arsenal.
Draw.
Chelsea.
We'll lose.
4. Arsenal 0.
What?
Right, okay.
Are you mental? Arsenal just beat the best team in the world.
Yeah. He's having a good one today.
I'm crazy.
Anyways, guys, a free shot at winning £250,000. Make sure you sign up using our link in the description down below. It's not too late to get involved.
Sign up!
Obviously, you touched on how authentic you were with the players and that would get them going for you. You know, you want players that would run for a brick wall for a manager. Were there any eccentric ways that you motivated players at times?
Every one of them. I find it boring if you try and do the same thing over and over again.
What was the craziest thing you...
Oh, no, I've tried to change the mood of things. What you have to be is aware of how they're feeling. So I've done slash and slide.
In
Blackpool, which
we just took him to
the water park, and I've arranged a poker tournament.
Did you go first on the slides?
Oh yeah, it was great.
That sounds fun.
Follow me, boys.
But it was I've taken them to ballet, the QPR lot. Yeah,
like doing it. Or was that after?
No, training with them.
Ferdinand did that, didn't he?
No, Danny Shittu had a tutu on. He was all
fucking hell, Danny Shittu.
Danny Shittu.
He had the young lady sat on his shoulder, but we couldn't. I got that wrong. We couldn't walk for a week
after the ballet.
The squats and the
oh yeah, it's
hard, yeah. Leg power. Ferdinand, all the United boys said they started
for balance and leg power and
strength. Mate, I'm not kidding you. They could open a can without a on. With their cheeks and their ass, those blokes. Fair play to them. Do you know what I mean? You could park your Kawasaki 1500 straight in there. You wouldn't even need to put the side thing down, would you? It was incredible. Incredibly hard, yeah. But well done to them, you know. But they were shaking the van. They didn't want to get out. It was that, honestly. And what you try and do is change it up when the pressure gets to you. And
What about specifically at half? Is there a memorable half-time team talk that you can think of that was like, change the game? At that point,
I think there was one later on in my life where I just went, look, if you think that's good enough, right, our fans don't, you must know that's terrible. So please just go out there and try to do something different than that, because that didn't look like you. And then I sat down, had a cup of tea, didn't say anything else, right? And I went, can you try and look like the team that was practicing yesterday and the day before?
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about the first half, that's happened, but I don't want to see that again.
Yeah.
Can you know? And they all went, yeah. So then one or two of them started talking. Do you know what I mean? What you got to do is find the leader, let them own it.
Yeah.
Mm. And when you get that right, they'll then start doing it themselves, you know? Yeah,
it's creating culture, right? That's
well, yeah. And I've also taken them to military bases. pre-season to make sure that they understand.
Yeah.
Right? If your life is having to protect everyone else in this country, you're going to be so fit, you're going to be ready, and you're going to listen, and you're going to need leaders. So fully aware of that. So I asked them to put some things on to see if my lads were leaders. And two teams are taking each other on, half my squad against half the other ones. And there was this swing. If any one of your team fell off, you all had to start again. Right, honestly, and they all meet these swings at the same time. So the bloke went, we were here like half hour. And I'm thinking, this, I said, they're never going to do it. He went, well, you've got to realize someone's going to have to say, let them go. Otherwise, you'll never finish. One of your boys will realize this and he will sacrifice and he will say, and he's your leader. Danny Shitton. He screamed there, lads, we'll be here all day. Sit down. Let them cross. Yeah, but they'll come first. Sit down. Let them cross because we have to achieve this together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? And he didn't even think he was a leader.
Right.
It's amazing. We had another one where you had to carry, it was a dummy, but it weighed the same as an average man. So your job was to, there was eight of you, six of you had to carry it, the other two were just running, and then you keep swapping and then get it over these obstacles and like a cross country.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So they had to work out how to do that. Mark Bertram threw the dummy in the woods because he said the bloke come back. They just carried that stretcher. And he went, Gaffer, I said, where's your bloke? And they were fuming, like, what are you? What? Oh, no, he's dead weight, isn't he? So what I'm saying to this
lot,
he's not sharing. All the bloke was worried about, where was it? It's worth about 10 grand, that dummy. But that's the take on it. That was Birch's take on it all. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, that's funny.
It's clever. Incredible.
Clever.
I've always wanted to ask this, but never asked a manager before. In terms of player fines set for the dressing room, is that done by you or is that done by players?
It's a code of conduct, right, by the club. And then I always used to have a committee,
yeah,
of some young ones and my senior ones and good talkers, bad talkers, get them in there and say, right, do we accept that? But I would get them to bring me a word that they thought was really important in their life, write it down, and then we'd all sign it. So we all agree to that.
Interesting.
Right? So, and then we put it up on the wall. So the whole group managed itself then.
Yeah.
If punctuality was one. Yeah. Know? So you signed that, didn't you? What time did you call this? Go and pay your fine. Don't moan. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I'm not picking you. You know that. Roy Keane did it at Sunderland when he got him up that year. He left two of his best players because they were 5 minutes late.
It was, there was a documentary on your documentary was on.
What I'm saying is that's unacceptable.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are, we're going. Mm. And they were there and he left them because they weren't on time.
They took the buzz on the way home, left the buzz because they were late.
At the stadium they'd just been to?
No.
To go to
the game. So on a Friday, it's an away game. You had to be there at, say, 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
They turned up at 1 minute past and Roy went, leave the doors, keep going.
He fucking left.
That's how Roy came.
And they won.
They won. He went, how dare you do that, and find them. So what I'm saying, it's a principle.
Yeah.
What you're after is lining people up wherever they've been before, let them know where they stand and make sure that they stand on the right side of respect for the teammates first. Right, to be late for anything. The car was late picking me up today. I understand on the M25 it can be choppy, but if I'm going anywhere and I know there's a risk, I will leave 2 hours, 3 hours early and then wander around and get there, you know? And because I can't risk being late for you. So it's really important that that these things, when it goes wrong, are there.
Yeah.
Right? And all I'm saying, how can a manager do that now when he's being undermined left, right, and centre? How can he be your leader?
That's what I don't get, because I feel like, don't take this the wrong way, but I feel like you'd be more of a manager than a coach, so to speak. I feel like not that you're not a coach, but
no, that's totally wrong.
Okay.
All I've ever been is
no.
I'm Jiminy Cricket, right? I am your voice of sense on the side. No one worked harder than me ever. No one, right? Dennis Wise beat me out of cross country, but I tried as hard as I could because he was just phenomenal.
Yeah, he was.
No one else ever beat me because I was determined that was what I was good at, and I needed that to play with Ray Wilkins. I carried the piano on the pitch and put it down so he could sit down and play it. Mm. Right, I knew what I was good at, and if you know what you're good at and you bring that A game all the time, you got a chance. So I'm wafting again. Where was I? What
was on about?
So what I did, I realised I was coaching in a way to not lose.
Right.
4-4-2, blah, blah, blah. So I then went right out on a limb and I coached to try and have an attacking formation, which we then tried to win the ball back immediately by having more people there to do that. So that's what I did at Blackpool. So my lads at Blackpool played an attacking defensive system.
Yeah.
Which we weren't quite good enough at the end of the day, because that was my fault. I should have done somewhat slightly different in the second half of that season because they've sussed us.
Do you reckon that's...
Yeah, my fullback, the opposite fullback, instead of me allowing them both to go up.
Yeah.
And I had squares and grids that I put out on the pitch and I practiced, you see that square, that's where I want you if that ball's over there. And if he moves out of that square, I need someone else in that square. So we can change shape, but we don't change shape.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if you move out of that shape, someone else needs to see that they can. Yeah. So that's why my centre half could play it, run forward and score in open play, right? Because we had other people filling in for him. So that was all part of it. So I would actually say my personal thing on not being late, being a good person, treating someone with respect, that's huge. I wouldn't even have you in my group but the tactics were more important, you know, that my principles of play of what you do every minute should never be changed, interchanged with tactics, because that's an excuse. Oh, I played wide left, and you know, my player should be able to play right, if he's a right winger or a right fullback, he should be able to play right wing back, right wing or right fullback without, and wherever I tell him. Do you get what I mean? Bernardo Silva was explaining that last week.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't normally, but the gaffer asked me, so shut up and play where I tell you, because there's a reason I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? So you are all of those things. What I wasn't was as funny as people think I was, because I need a laugh. And some of the things that have happened, I've had to turn that into a bit of fun to take the pressure off of whoever they were. Yeah. Carlisle was one at one time. But I try and protect my players, providing they're doing what I want. And if they don't do what I want, which is being punctual, working hard, then I won't have them. And they know it. When it's gone well, fantastic.
Mm.
In Leicester, I could always apologise to them, but we had 72 pros. 72 players signed on. So I'm not exaggerating. I had 72 with all the young kids, right? I had my first meeting and Gaffer, you'll have to wait. So I waited, and who are all these people in these tracksuits? I mean,
Christ.
And they were my squad.
God, school.
And then the staff came in, and there was even more than I'd ever have in my life. And it's like, oh my God, I tried to whittle it all down. We got relegated. I wasn't good enough. I couldn't handle that. It didn't make sense. I carried on being the same as I was. And people didn't want to play for me. DJ Campbell said, I'm not playing for you, because they've just sacked my last manager, who was Martin Allen. So he didn't want to play for me yet. The following year, I went to Blackpool. And
he
I borrowed
was unreal.
Him and, yeah, so it wasn't me, was it? It was how he felt about Leicester. So,
right.
You know, at the end of the day, but I failed.
Is there anything you miss? Would you ever be tempted to go back in? Because you're nearing 1,000.
I'm 12 short of it.
12 short, yeah.
Oh, go on.
Is that an itch you might need to scratch?
Salford or something?
It's got to be a league. It's got to be a league club. It's got to be league matches. And then I can join the 1,000. Club. So if anybody's listening who wants to give an offer, I'm not even old, I'm 60. I feel
you're in good shape.
I feel 9 months
is paying off.
I feel more equipped than I've ever felt.
Oh, really?
To do the job, yeah.
But physically, mentally, everything.
All of it, yeah. Because if put it to it like a brain surgeon, right? You know, if you've got someone who's waiting to do his first operation and I've done nearly 1,000. You telling me that all the modern, that he's going to be better at doing it than I am right now? I don't think so. But it is what it is. So maybe I'm too outspoken. Maybe I'm not. You know, maybe all these new ones, you know. Good luck.
We've got a lot of pull on this show, mate. So someone's probably going to come knocking.
All I can say is there's a huge part of me missing. And my wife knows it.
Is it just an external metric of just the number that you want to hit?
No, it's not the numbers. It is only a number, but I miss
the game.
Last week, I saw all my team from 20 years ago that got us back up at QPR. And that was the toughest job I've ever had to do, because we were in administration.
Mm.
So we went from being famous to losing 4-1 away to Peterborough.
Mm.
And they're crowd singing, "You're not famous anymore." Then we lost to Vauxhall Motors. Then we lost 4-0 at home to Cardiff City. Right. It was really close to the last 15 minutes and Earnshaw scored a hat trick. And I've never seen anything like it. And the group I managed to put together, we begged, stole and borrowed them. And to a man, they were absolutely fantastic. honestly.
Is that the highlight?
Tony Thorpe left Luton and he was an idol at Luton. He wanted to come and because I sold him our club and what I was trying to do, and he helped us get promoted. Just sold Richard Langley to the team that beat us, Cardiff, and then I used part of the money to pay off the debt and I brought two players, Kevin McLeod and Tony Thorpe, and we had enough goals in our team to get us up that year.
Would you say that that's the highlight of your career? Given,
one of them.
Given how difficult
the situation. No, one of them.
Okay. Got to be black.
One of them. No, one of them. Honestly, I have to say, to see all those lads, I haven't seen some of them for 20 years.
Yeah.
It was a joy last week. And they all started talking. And I knew why. We had Steve Palmer in the corner, who was Mr. Sensible. Right? Mm. We had Mark Bertram, who's an absolute nutter. You got Tony Thorpe, who's like, he used to moan at me all the time, but it was about, oh, training's too hard, Gaffer, oh, come on, I just want to do some finishing. And shut up, Tony. Just, it was, you could see why they were successful. Do you get what I mean? Yeah, they had some up between them.
Yeah.
And it was, God, talk about miss it. Do you know what I mean? And Paul Furlong looks like he could still play now.
Mm.
And we were having terrible problem with him. He'd been injured. He ripped his thigh off the top of his hip.
Jesus.
And that's quite a nasty. You're just sprinting and it's just gone, whoosh, you know what I mean?
I've heard of that before.
I managed to get him to believe in fitness is the key and you can do it. Stop holding yourself back in training. And then you're trying to play full out. You've got to do it the other way around.
Yeah.
You've got to stretch that elastic band in training. So come on. And I got Gary Penrose to talk to him about what are you good at first? Just practice something. Oh, I'm missing. No, Penny made him miss, but accurately on my life.
What?
He made him miss. He put a post, there's the goal post, put a post on half a yard outside, head it in there, mate.
What do you mean? He said I was bad at missing.
He was, the crowd, were, I had to threaten.
You mean he'd spoon him and stuff?
Well, he'd get in a great chance and he'd put it wide or he'd miss, right? So, and I'd say to him, first, come on, he went, yeah, but I'm getting chances, Gaffer, and I'll take them. So Gary Penrose, who's a great friend of mine also, centre forward. I said, could you come up? He went, don't tell him he's missing, or whatever you do. I said, well, you'll have to have a word with him. I said, I've fallen out with him last week. I said, come on. He said, don't ever criticise your forward. So he comes up. He said, first, Ollie said, going to practice what you're good at. He went, oh, I'm missing. So Penny went, all right. Anyway, first didn't think about it. So we go outside. He said, get me two poles, bag of balls, and you can come out and get me a goalie. So got a young goalie in goal. I said, what do you want then, Penny? He went, Ollie, go out wide, you can cross up first. See that? And there's the post, right? And he shoved it 1 yard away, one step, stuffed it in there. He said, see that? Forget the goalie. I want you to edit in that gap outside. You said you were good at missing. I want to see how good you are.
Mm.
So let's count how many crosses it's going to take Ollie to put in for you to hit that. Look how, you know? So anyway, I crossed it over first time, bang, right in that gap. He went, Ollie, stop, go to the other side. So Furs is like, what? He went, I want you to miss the other side of the goal this time. And Ollie's going to cross from the left hand. He said, look how good you are. Look how good you are at missing, right? And I said, what are you good at? What are you focused on? You're focused on missing. And look how brilliant you are.
Yeah.
What you got to do is refocus on scoring. That's all you got to do. So I crossed it over, one touch, goal. In that same, he missed two out of two. He said, Furs, come on in. That was it. And he, after that training session, he got 1 in 3 for the rest of his career.
That's mental.
It is mental.
Just reframing.
Penny understood.
That actually makes sense, though.
Yeah, but Penny understood what he was going through, so he made him realign his own thought process.
Who's the best signing you ever made?
It's too many to say. Too many.
If you just one, though.
Too many. I probably signed him 3 times, Barry Hills. Got him from non-league. It's all about trying to find ways to make it happen, because I wasn't really ever anywhere with loads and loads of money. Even at Leicester, we'd already spent it all.
Yeah.
And I had to claw some of it back. Do you know what I mean?
That's one thing I remember about you at Blackpool, was just the lack of money you had to spend. And then you got done for the fine for...
£25,000, yeah.
Do you remember that? They got done, he changed 10 players at Villa and they fined him for fielding a weakened side.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I'm the only manager ever to be fined for picking so-called a weaker side, right?
And did how you win that? The next week?
Yeah, I had 3 games.
How was that?
We were at home to, I can't remember who it was, then we were away to Villa in the same week, and then we had Tottenham at home.
So just rotation, so, really.
Well, but I trained in a certain way that my reserves, who I haven't given a start to, were beating my first team. And I thought, right, these lot need a rest. And I'm going to do that on the away trip. Five of them, six of them were subs. But basically, I didn't pick Charlie Adam.
Mm.
Right?
That was the crux of it.
If I'd have picked Charlie, they wouldn't have found me. But how can you give in?
Who are they to say?
How can you give in a list of 25 people? They then give you it back with a big tick on. Yeah. Yeah. That's your squad. Great. They didn't say, oh, actually, half that squad ain't good enough.
Yeah.
They didn't say it then, did they?
No.
What they did, they let me pick a game and, oh, you're not taking the competition seriously enough. When I drew it home the first, we lost 3-2 away with the last kick of the game at Villa. And then we beat Spurs on the Saturday.
Well, they wouldn't 3-1. Find you if you had won, would they?
Well, they shouldn't have found me.
Would they?
We lost with the last kick of the game and I put one of my better ones back on.
No, but I mean, realistically, if we won, a win, they're not going to turn around and go.
I don't know.
Where.
But who finds you, though? Is it the Premier League?
It's the FA, wasn't it?
The FA. I don't know.
I think that's bizarre, you were the first, and then they did McCarthy as well, didn't they?
No, Mick wanted to kill me. No, he rang me up. I said, what are you doing, Ollie, you idiot? Because I said Mick did it last week.
Oh, was it? Yeah. Sorry, yeah.
I dropped him right in. I didn't mean to. He's never forgiven me.
He's never forgiven me.
Yeah, I'll remember that.
It's not quite signings, but it's similar. Can we do a five-a-side of your maybe favourite five players you've managed?
I honestly have been so blessed with wonderful... Well,
that's a good. An abundance of players.
Wonderful
is always,
players, you know? Yeah. I could have a whole competition out of the teams that I've either inherited or, you know, if you look at Palace, you had Mile Jedinak, centre midfielder.
Yeah.
What a leader he is. Mm. You had Wilfred one side, Blassi the other side.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you had Johnny Williams, who was on fire at that time as well. You had Glenn Murray. Julian Speroni in goal. I never realised how good he was. You know what I mean?
What was the situation with the joggers?
That's Gabriel Karai, wasn't it?
Speroni not wear the joggers in the game?
No, he did for a while, yeah.
Did he?
Yeah. How was that allowed?
Well, they were all beat up and grey, weren't they? They were a horrible colour, weren't they?
But does it not have to wear the kit?
Wait, I don't know. It's probably Karai used to do it as well, didn't he? Gabriel Karai.
Julian was good enough to do whatever he wanted.
Yeah.
But it's really tough, you know. If what I always say to people is the best at what, right? So when you say best players, you know, best at what?
Most memorable to manage, most enjoyable.
The easiest, right? I had two players who I never had to do anything about at all. David Vaughan.
Oh, player.
He's always on time, hardly ever spoke, right? Hardly ever said a word. Trained better than anybody. Was so efficient, absolutely superb, every day.
He was a good player, really.
Absolutely every day, honestly.
And who's the second?
Kevin Phillips.
I only had
him in twice a week because he trained in his garden. Must have a hell of a garden.
In his garden?
He trained the rest of the time on his own. He was like 37, 38 when I first got him, and he was fitter than anybody.
Duracell.
Well, that's why he played for so long, isn't it?
Well, we had him when he was like... But similar age. I'm not sure if that was before or after.
Yeah, but this is what's mad. He was let go at Southampton where they were playing him as a fullback for being too small. And he ended up centre forward. He went before that. I was always a centre forward. But,
yeah,
you know, I never had to do, not once did I, and I don't think he was always like that because he was so old. He was just ready to come on and enjoy the minutes and score for me. He said, my job's to score. So he used to have a hot water bottle on the bench, take his boots off, sit there, towel around it. To keep his feet warm. So when he went on, he was ready.
Yeah.
Right? He didn't really have to warm up.
It's quite clever, actually.
And I said, were you like that? He said, no, I'd have killed you for leaving me out, lad. He scored a hat trick. And then that was on a Wednesday and I left him out and put him on and he scored again. Because he would have expected to play after scoring a hat trick, but I knew he wasn't quite ready. So anyway, it was all about using it right, you know? So he was a joy. But I mean, I had Jamie Curran when he was young at Bristol Rovers. I mean, what a player, honestly. You know, I used to have Tony Thorpe. I love people who can do what I couldn't.
Right.
They have football brains, you know. And some of the players I've seen, Luke Varney, what he did, Jason Puncheon, I swear to you, some of it, Charlie Adams' left foot is just unreal. But it was the balance we had in midfield. We had Keith Southern. on the right of Charlie. Charlie could literally go anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And David Vaughan and Keith Southern would, like, they'd be like guard dogs. They would be protecting that area. And then Charlie, he got 19 goals from the centre of midfield.
From the halfway line as well.
Yeah, one from the halfway line.
Oh, but I thought Vaughan was the underrated one in that team.
But what he was, I didn't see him as a winger. And everybody was sort of put him on the left. And I went, oh, we're going to play with this three. I want you. Oh, God, yeah, brilliant. Because he'll have a lot more of the ball. But, you know, DJ Campbell's brain was just something else. Honestly.
When
him and Charlie would look. Yeah, he was. Yeah. Him and Charlie would see. And then Charlie would roll something and they'd be on the same way. And that's what you want. You want. And don't get me wrong, I had Ben Burgess who we could hit and his touch was brilliant, but I had other runners who I could run off of him. So we had different types to try and win different types of games.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did really well, because of the principles of play that I gave them, they are never going to change. So they never got confused, right? And if we're losing a game, we're going to switch to 3-4-3. And what we're going to do is smack diagonals,
yeah,
right? I'm going to push one of the defenders in, so our right back would go up as a right winger. I'd push Charlie up.
Higher up,
or put him on the left with his left foot and then put another centre forward on.
Tyler Fletcher.
And I had two big uns and then Kevin Phillips, right? So there was big edit. And if you didn't change your shape, we would come back six times in a row.
This immediately just after going a goal down and they knew.
Well, depending on how long was left.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But the lads understood it. We practiced it all the time and basically, get it wide. If you can't get in, hit a diagonal. So we would go to for right wing back, right? Back into our right centre half who goes smash. Because the left centre half was always allowed to go. We only had two back then because he would go in and make extra man to pick up the pieces. And then we'd put it in the box. So if you look here, the craziest thing I've ever seen in football is Holland. We're two down against Argentina in the last World Cup, whenever it was, middle of the season.
Yeah.
They put on Weghorst and another centre front. They got two goals, right? Yeah. They couldn't cope with it. And then they changed once they got level.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Carry on and do it because it was working and they couldn't handle it. But, you know, at the end of the day, my team came back and they knew it, right? Because I said this might be one chance we get and we need the points in this season. We're not going to keep... And I would love to have just played and carried on and keep playing, but we need to put that ball in the box to give us a chance to realistically put them under pressure because the football you should play should hurt their back line, whatever it's made of. Is it five? Is it four? Is it two? However it is, they need to work harder than anyone else.
Yeah.
And if you watch today's football, I'm sorry, they stroll around with a big cigar on because everybody's passing it square and sideways unless you pay the real good ones because they... When you win it off of them, they win it straight back off of you and they don't give you any time, do they? Right? And that's what people don't get. Pep is all about strangling you and then dominating you and then strangling you again. He don't give you any air whatsoever. And it's all about winning the ball back and being great. And if you're as good as he wants you to be, but you don't put value on winning the ball back, he'll get rid of you. Look at Kinsella last year.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, no one's mentioned it. They kicked him out when he's the fullback of the year. Why? Because your attitude ain't good enough, son. Yeah. How brilliant's that?
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah,
and Pep's strong enough to do it. Because at the end of the day, it's all about the values that you have. Right? And Bernardo Silva said, we had enough. We're in a crisis. They lost two games in a row last week. Started laughing. But he went, we had a few dodgy spells last year, but this is what tests us. We keep coming back. And why? If you saw, there's a YouTube thing with Pep. Telling one of his players, how dare you? How dare you do what you've just done? You don't want the ball. You haven't made an angle. How dare you? I give you permission to give it away.
Bayern, wasn't it? I think
I give you permission to give it away. I give you permission to lose the ball. I give you permission, but I don't give you permission to not want the ball. Because you are not. How dare you? I hate it when you don't want the ball. You have to want the ball all times. There is no pressure from me for you to get it wrong. But how dare you not want the ball? How dare you not help your teammate? Because at the end of the day, they're only that good because they're constantly thinking, outthinking the opposition.
Yeah.
And their leader is leading them to do that. It's absolutely incredible. He's and all the best ones did that. All the best ones. Even in the time when I'm looking at Brian Clough and watching him, all those leaders at that time, you knew who they were. You knew they were the boss. Oh my God, you were scared to get that wrong. It's so different now.
Yeah.
It really is, you know. So good luck to all these young ones. You know, seriously, good luck to you, because if you're not successful in the first season, you ain't going to get the second season. Yeah. And how wrong is that?
Yeah.
Fergie, we wouldn't have seen Fergie.
No, if, yeah, that's right.
Now, that's low started,
They gave him time in it.
4 years.
Ended up being the greatest decision ever.
He come like 11. They were definitely going to sack him at one point, weren't they?
Well,
like,
I got to be honest. The fella who scored him the winning goal in that final, was his first trophy, was Lee Martin. I had him at Bristol Rovers. He had to retire. So I phoned Sir Alec and he went, oh, yeah, I'll bring a side down to play him. Absolutely no problem. He kept me in the job. That's what his words were.
Jesus.
Nice.
And they were playing at Wembley the day after. He brought Beckham, Scholes down, and he looked at Jamie Cure and he went, you're that little bugger who turned us down when you were 11. on my life.
Really?
Because everybody wanted Jamie Curran when he was 10 or 11. Unbelievable. Jamie scored 2 that day. We drew 2-2. Right? Absolutely amazing. The bloke's amazing, honestly. And they are. People don't realise what it takes out of you and how intense you have to be. So I have been so privileged to see so many different styles, so many different types, and yet they've all... I mean, even Fergie, he got a 60% win rate. So 40% of the time, he was still losing or drawing. So what I'm saying, the bloke's still a genius. This game just eats you up, spits you out. And the young uns, that's why I did this documentary. I want them to get more time from people who support the clubs and realise how hard it is. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
How do you see, bringing it to this season's Premier League, how do you see this season panning out? Because obviously Spurs, no Harry Kane, but seem to have got better. Arsenal are almost as good as last year and pushing all the way. How do you see this season panning out?
And you said City are in crisis after two losses. Yeah.
I think City are always going to be the one to chase, providing Pep's there.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoever tries to follow him,
tough job.
You know what I mean? You can't dance in them shoes, can you? I'm sorry. You know, and whoever tried to follow Sir Alec has had it so tough, you know?
Same thing.
Never gave Moisey enough time. They never.
Oh, yeah.
That really hurts me. Dave's a great friend of mine. I'm delighted what he did for West Ham last year, but even West Ham fans halfway through the season.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. So. Yeah. Now look at them. They're flying as well.
It's a crazy... Honestly, it's like managing chaos. That's, you know, really the hot seat. Should have been called managing chaos because for me, that's how it felt, you know?
But from the sounds of things, it sounds like it's always been that. Like, even now, it's just a different kind of chaos.
I think it's worse now.
Really?
Yeah.
Because of the media.
Not maybe the media, but that's what someone you want. You want people to have views, don't you? You know, they used to talk about you going down a pub, but now it's all over the place, isn't it? So, you know, but again, it's don't listen to it. There's no point. It's not going to affect you. You've got to do what you do, but... There's no balance. You don't get see the real us.
Yeah.
Right? In my documentary, I think you do. And I'm really pleased with it. And it made me feel a lot better about myself. Does that sound right?
No, that's right.
It made me feel a lot better about myself.
Because it made you realise, I'm not the only crazy.
Tigger.
Yeah.
I am not.
We're all the same.
Tops made out of rubber, bottoms made out of spring. I am. There's other people like me.
So you're top 6 this season in the Prem.
It's probably the 4 that are there at the minute, isn't it? And then there's any other 2 strangers who fancy it.
Brighton, you know, or West Ham.
Brighton could easily do it with the way they're motoring.
But you think Spurs will stay top 4 then?
I think they will. I can't see them falling off, not with their boss in charge. He's got a grip of everything. Seems
to keep Madison fit, don't they?
Big Angie's the bollocks, anyway, I think.
No, he's straight talking. You know, I couldn't stand the fact that I thought Conte told the truth last year and ended up getting the sack. Or did he really want to stay?
He was trying to get the sack.
Yeah, maybe.
He'd been honest, but also...
He knew what he was doing. Yeah. Calling Tottenham like failures. I think he knew what he... For such a winner of him to come out and publicly be like, it's just in the nature of Tottenham.
But he's also telling the truth, though.
Hang on a minute. Don't you think that's slightly true?
My argument would be
they've always had a soft centre for me. They've always, even with Glenn Hoddle,
possibly, but then you're this winning, you're this absolute winner who's won everywhere he's gone. You change it. That's what we're paying you the money to do.
He's saying he couldn't because it was in the club.
You lose the mentality.
Oh no, but what does that mean in the club?
Where in the mentality.
It's the same way you stay
it's the same way you constantly yeah. tell us.
It's the same way you,
your have players have Arsenal a soft underbelly.
No, that's ridiculous. I'm not
they
having
do.
That. No.
That's why you shit your pants when City got near you last season.
William Saliba was out, mate. Let's be honest. Come on.
It's true.
Ian, obviously your documentary is out now on the Liga 72 YouTube yeah. channel.
Can I just thank the Liga 72, right, for putting it out there? Can I thank Sky Bet, who basically went, yeah, that's a good idea. And yeah. can I thank the production company, cool. JMP, Joe Meredith's staff? Because a lot, you can tell I chat a lot. They managed to save the best bits, edit it, and make it as enjoyable. I was nearly crying when I watched it. And my wife and I,
oh, no.
I have never liked anything I've done
yeah.
apart from this. So I would like, no, I really like to thank them. I think it was one hell of a watch and it made me understand me more.
Mm.
So hopefully someone else out yeah. there, because the game needs a little bit of a put a brake on a little yeah, yeah, I yeah. think. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
look, wouldn't it be great if we could have chairman in here so I could interview him and we could say, oh, what do you think? And really, because I know what they're doing, whether they're lying or not. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like Wayne Rooney said, oh, we've got a plan. Oh, yeah, what's that then?
Yeah.
What's your plan? What's your plan to get yeah. to the Premier League? Tell me. Win, I'd love guys. To know.
We're going
to
try and win.
Yeah, but no, seriously, if they have, it, wouldn't it be great to have a little bit of it? So if they shared that with their fans, you get what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We kind of see it a little bit in terms of TV production as well now. Like you get managers at halftime having team talks, which was just, you know, never really have that medium for beforehand. I think slowly it is opening up towards that.
I don't like that.
Oh, you don't?
I don't think that's real.
No, I don't like all the halftime.
I don't think that's real. And if you watch what Man City are doing, right, when they show you winning there, they cut out most of the bits.
Mm.
Seriously?
Yeah.
And I know for a fact they cut out most of it because that ain't as nice as he's always going to be because he's got to let rip and they won't want him looking like that. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Look at Fergie. He talks about it now. He kicks that boot and it hit Beckham in the head. Do you know what I mean? He wouldn't have wanted that out, but he didn't mean it. But God damn, it made an effect, didn't it?
Yeah.
You know, teacups everywhere at halftime. What are you going to do with your... Because you can't win as a manager, can you? You're either over-emotional or you're under-emotional or, oh, I don't like him. He's mustard. We don't like him. You know, Marmite, I used to call myself.
Mm.
We were waiting to go on holiday and my wife's in the queue and I go to the toilet and I walk him back and stood right next to my wife. I said, oh, that's Ian Holloway. I hate him. She went, do you mind? That's my husband. She went, oh. But people having a... She don't even know me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's mental, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, hopefully when people watch this, they'll get to know you.
Yeah, and us. Stop hating on us as well. You don't know us.
No one hates on you, Tom. They love you.
Yeah,
hate on me. No, but obviously we'll leave a link to the documentary in the description down below.
Yep.
Highly recommend checking it out. You obviously have a book out as well.
Yep.
Yeah? How to be a football manager?
I didn't write it. I talked to someone, right? And he wrote it. Thank God for that.
And just as good.
Yeah, David Clayton, right? He works for Man City. But all I can say, how he made the sense out of it and still kept the emotion in it is quite incredible.
Yeah.
Sounds like, and I read it, right? And that's the hardest thing I've ever had to do. I'm not very good at reading and never have been. My brother's brilliant and he used to read to me when I was a kid. So to try and read that out and get the feeling in it was almost impossible.
Mm.
But I thank him for doing that. Hopefully it's good. I like the second one particularly. Because it's more about the game.
Yeah.
The first one was about my family.
Yeah.
How tough it was with the deafness and all of that. That was great, but that was a while ago. So this new one, I really think he's done a brilliant job at it.
Fantastic. Well, Ian, thank you so much for coming on the show. Been a great listen.
Get you back in football, get you back in a job soon.
12 more.
12 more kids.
No,
my wife said.
I'm in the game.
12 more kids. Yeah.
I thought you meant
hey, kids. Hey, me, mate.
We told Newcastle to sign Dan Burn, and they ended up signing Dan Burn. So anything?
Are you claiming that? Aren't you?
He is. He's claiming that.
I actually did.
Is that not tragic or what?
Well, Tom, all I'm saying.
No, not tragic. Shameless.
All I'm saying is I said it. And then a week later, they did.
Yeah, okay.
So expect a phone call pretty soon.
Yeah.
I think what is scandalous, that little bloke you've got up on the top of the thing.
That's him.
What's he doing? Fancy having him up there.
Have we shown him that?
No, he's obviously been looking at it throughout today.
I don't know why this is here, but...
Oh, my Christ.
We got his stony on as well.
Right. Anyways, yeah. Guys, make sure you rate us 5 stars on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Drop a like, and we will see you next time. Bye bye.